Lee Williams, who was the writer of that Sheltered in the Arms? That's it. That is my favorite Dottie Rambo song. And if Dana ever sings that, she will have me crying throughout that whole song. And so that is a powerful, that's probably one of her most powerful songs that she ever wrote. And but anyway, Lori is handing out some handout sheets to you. This is not a long message today. It's going to be very different than what I usually do. And it's like what I said at my earlier in my introduction time that when we first began the service, but that this is kind of a summary of all the messages I've been preaching. So I didn't realize it had been this many because I preached a message called The Potter and the Clay. And I preached a message on the importance of respect and honor, that a church has to operate by that. I preached a message on thinking like God, and I had two parts of that one, part one and part two. And then I preached a four-part series all about the Holy Spirit. So that was parts one through four, with really special focus on the importance of hearing God, how to hear God. And so that's, what would that be, two, three, four, eight sermons. And then last week, I really did something I've never done, and that is I spoke on what I've learned from the ministry, and I do have handout sheets on that, but you should have got, I think I forwarded that to you guys, but there is more handout sheets back there if you want that one. I probably should have said at the very beginning that it's going to kind of come off as a little bit negative, because people are kind of looking at me strange on that message at the beginning until they kind of got where I was going with it. Because it does, what I've learned from the ministry is there are some negative things I've learned from the ministry, and so that dealt with that, but it also dealt with the very positives of the ministry and the joy of being in a church full of people that are loving and caring. If you want the notes on that and don't have it, I do have extra copies of that in back, and I'll be happy to supply that to you as well. And for our new couple, I did notice this morning that I have The Potter and the Clay with me, the sermon notes on that, and I don't normally carry all that stuff with me, and I have The Importance of Respect and Honor with me as well. So if you guys want copies of that, you let me know, and I can get them, because they're right here in my notebook. I still had them with me. I hadn't filed them away yet. So, all right. So today's focus is on when your life is over, what really mattered. And so we're going to approach this like this. I'm going to give you five verses in a row right up front. And there are five verses I've used at some time during this series on foundational sermons. So I'm going to give those to you, and then I'm going to go one after another, kind of summary thinking of how we should be thinking if we're truly going to follow God. That's what the rest of the message will be, included with some music that'll be tied into it. So again, the title to today, When Your Life is Over, What Really Mattered. So let's pray. Father, I ask that you will fill me with your spirit for this task, and that you will accomplish your purposes today, and that you will build 30 people, more than that, 30 people who just want to be led by you, who are willing to get their own thinking out of the way, to try to hear from you at all times, to try to be effective in your work, what you guide them to do, not what they do on their own, but what you guide them to do. Help us to get better and better at hearing you. Accomplish your will with today's message, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could look closely at all the things Jesus said that had to do with his thinking. So if you want to really get into the mind of Jesus, what gospel has more of his thinking than any other gospel? And Lee, I know you know the answer, so you can't answer it. I'll let somebody else answer it. But anyway, so Lee's on this. All right, so anybody know which gospel really deals with the thinking of Jesus more probably than any other gospel? Anybody know? John, the Gospel of John. If you look at that, it is amazing on how many quotes of Jesus that you could see how Jesus thought. All right, so let's look at five of them. And I've mentioned these verses at different parts of this series that I am wrapping up on today. And by the way, there is a we're not going to return to Moses. I'm not feeling any pulling, so we'll do that later on. He's already crossed the Red Sea, so he's in good shape, you know. And we just got to get him from the wilderness to the promised land, so we can do that later. He'll hang out, you know, for a while till we get back to him. But I'm actually praying about doing Joseph again. And Joseph is probably my favorite Bible stories, Bible character stories. And so we'll see this week whether or not God leads that way. But anyway. No, we will not wait. I won't be here probably in 40 years. So you'll have to hear that message up in heaven, and I'm sure there's better preachers than me up there. So, all right, so here's these five verses by John's quotes of Jesus. John 6:38, and they're in your notes. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but, and anytime you see italics in there, that's me adding to it. So I'm not adding to Scripture, you know that's just me. Giving you an interpretation on that. But rather to do the will of him who sent me. Now, that's not just for Jesus. That's our job. We've come from the moment you got saved, from that moment on, you have an assignment, and it is to do the will of God while you're here on earth until the day you die. That's your assignment. Everybody has that same assignment if you're going to walk with God. The only thing that will last, we looked at a verse on this, and this is probably if it's not my favorite verse in the Bible, is probably in the top three. I love Proverbs 3-5 a lot. But anyway, John 6:63, the Spirit, and notice it's capital S, so it's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives life. And again, I have italics in there to kind of give an interpretation. In other words, what comes from the Holy Spirit produces things that last forever. That's what life means. The flesh counts for nothing. So the things that you come up with on your own, how effective are they? They count for what? Nothing. They have no eternal value. Therefore, the words, so Jesus is saying this. He's saying this to the people. Therefore, because I believe this, the words I have spoken to you are small s, spirit. They came from his inner spirit, the part of us when we get saved. We have now a inner spirit where the Holy Spirit lives. The words I've spoken to you are spirit, and basically that's saying I made sure I got them in my spirit from the Holy Spirit, and they are life. They will produce forever stuff. So anything that God gives you, the words God gives you to say to someone, the witnessing opportunities that God opens the door on and he gives you the perfect words to say, those are the ones you need to be saying, not your own stuff. Not be sitting there going, what can I say? What can I say? No, that's not how we do it. We do it by being led of God. We say his words. We do what he wants us to do. And that stuff, anything you're doing through God, is going to be stuff that's going to last forever. All right, John 12, 49 and 50. For I did not speak, and again, this is Jesus talking, of my own accord. But the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and what? How to say it. Now, whether you've ever heard another minister say this or not, I'm going to make this plain to you. I believe that Jesus laid aside his God authority while on earth so that he operated through the Father, then through the Son, to accomplish the will of God. Why is that important? It's important because if he did everything on his own through as God, because he is God, But I believe while he's on earth, he laid it aside, his power and authority, and operated through the Father. If he did everything on his own through his own power of God, being God, then we can't live like him. Do you see why that's important? So if he laid it aside, operated through the Father on everything, then we can do the same thing. And that's why I think that whole idea is so important. So he says, I did not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. Verse 50. I know that his command leads to eternal life. Forever stuff. So whatever I say, because I believe this, that's what Jesus is saying. Because I believe what I just now told you, whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. All right, here's another verse, and this is on the backside of your sheets, your handout sheets, but John 4:35. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look. Now he's talking about spiritual eyes. And look at the fields. So in other words, he was talking to the disciples on this one, and he's saying, look, you're not looking. You guys are not looking. They are ripe. There's people ripe right now that the Father's already been dealing with. They've been going through something. They are ripe. I need laborers. That's basically what he was talking about. And John 14:31, but the world must learn that I love the Father. Do you love the Father? Well, if you love the Father, guess what will happen? You'll do exactly what the Father has commanded you. Just like Jesus said, the world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what he's commanded me to do. So each of those sermons that I've done up to today, I've used some of these verses in those sermons, and they were important. So now let's begin to shape. Let's come up with like a summary. A 1 through 15 is what I've got in your sheets here. Quick summary on how our thinking should be if we applied Scripture in our life, and especially if we applied the sermons that we've gone over for the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks. Number one, okay, so we got saved. Our lives are now supposed to belong to God. And by the way, if they don't, you need to ask forgiveness and turn your life over to God. That's what it means to be saved. It doesn't mean I believe Jesus is real. It means I turned my life over to him. He's now in control. And that's what salvation really is. I don't think pastors preach it like that enough. They make it sound like you don't have to do anything. No, you turned your life over to him. That's what salvation is. Number two, we finally got it through our heads that God is the potter and we are the what? Clay. We finally got that through our heads and that we are going to be changing constantly as God's showing us things in our life that needs to change from now until the day we die. Welcome to the Christian world. Because that's what you're going to be doing. If you're listening to God at all, you're going to be changing. So often here, I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to ask you right now. Look at your life right now. Think about it. In the last 6 months, how have you changed? So just ask yourself that. How have I changed in the last 6 months? What area has God spoke to me about, and I've grown in that area because he's speaking to me about that? And the answer should always have something that comes to you. And if you can't think of something, then you're not listening. Because he's going to be changing you because he's the potter and we're the clay, right? And so there's a purpose to it all. And that is to equip us to be more like him. But the even bigger purpose is so that we'll bring people to salvation. Now, we don't actually do it. We just listen to God. He opens the door. We pray for people. We say what we're supposed to say. We spend time around that person as God opens that door of opportunity for us. We do what he wants us to do, and then he brings the results. But if you're not doing what he wants you to do, you're not going to see any results anyway. We have to be changing. If we're not changing, then the things that are fleshly in us are going to inhibit us from being effective. I mean, who would want to be like this person or whatever? I mean, that we have to be in a process of change so people notice it. Potter and the clay, I got some references there. That was a really good sermon. And first time I'd ever preached specifically on that topic. Number three, we finally have concluded that we had way too much junk in our own thinking, that we've been trying to help God out too much for way too long. In essence, we've been leaning on our own understanding, Proverbs 3:5, constantly evaluating everything from our own perspective only. Our mind was so full of stuff. So we started to retrain ourselves to think different. We are now allowing God to help us clean the slate of the junk of our thinking. And we're being like we talked about in the one sermon, like Daniel. Why, when that angel appeared, did God give Daniel the answers? He gave him the answers because he had put his mind constantly on gaining understanding about that situation. And the angel said, and I've come here in answer to your prayer. And in fact, he said, from the moment you decided to put your mind on gaining understanding, the answer was already in the works. And so we finally get it. We finally come to the point to where we realize that there's a lot of thinking in our heads that does nothing for God whatsoever. I need to clean the slate and just hear him and just do what he wants me to do. And we find that this is a fight. We're not used to thinking that way. But since we finally decided we must hear God and not come up with what we think, we're going to fight this thing until we're right on the same page as God. Number four, we understand we are here on earth to accomplish what the Father wants to do through us. We understand that to mean there will be things God will assign us to do or say. There are certain people he wants us to talk to. And you never know who that is. I mean, Lori and I popped in at Village Inn, I think it was last Sunday, and there was a couple right over by us. And, you know, if you wear a suit coat, they know you came from church. I mean, who goes around wearing suit coats? They're not even popular. I'm surprised suit coat businesses even stay in business nowadays. So, but I stopped at their table when we went to leave and talked to them. And I didn't feel any pulling to witness. But I did tell them, God bless you guys. Have a good day. But you just never know. You never know what God's going to open up for you. And this is part of the change that should be happening with us. So we're here on earth. We get it. We finally get it. We got a job to do while we're here on earth. And we understand that means God's going to assign us to certain people, certain things to talk to spend time with, and others that we may even just be helping in some way or the other. We are learning to look more, look from a spiritual eye perspective. We feel the responsibility that God has assigned things to us, number five. Now, wherever we go, we're looking for open doors to witness. And I'm telling you, this is hard when, okay, I only got so many minutes today to get all this stuff done and these errands run and run into Lowe's and then over to Target and over to, and then all this stuff's rushing through your mind, and yet you're supposed to be at the same time looking from a spiritual perspective. And so, you know, it's going to take you some time to start changing some of this, the way you look. You're going to have to multitask. There's a word. And to learn to go get stuff and then look and see if God wants you to stop and talk to somebody or something. You know, just see what doors open for you. But number five, we are always looking. Number six, when we see things that the Father is doing things that we didn't realize he was doing until right then. We pray and we ask God if he wants us to do anything. We then join him in what he is already doing. Now that was a part of last Sunday's sermon. We're going to join him. See, stop figuring out life. I don't know how these pastors do it. They're going to do this 5-year plan, and this is what we're going to do. It's like, did you check with God on that 5-year plan? You know, I mean, I don't know how they come up with that stuff, because to me, God's never worked that way. I mean, I might have a vague idea where he's taking this, and, you know, and I may have things I want that I may not get. I did get my fiddle player. Not quite fiddle, it's violin, but I mean, it's got a little fiddle sound in there. Got that today. Now we just need dobro, banjo, mandolin. Bring it on, you know. That's what I would choose if it was me. But he's in charge. What is the Father doing? We got to get a hold of that. Stop figuring this stuff out yourself. What's the Father doing? And join yourself to that. So then we begin, number 7, to start feeling different. I mean, our thinking's starting to change. We're starting to feel a little different about life. We should feel a bit of an adventure in all of this. Because you don't know what God's going to do. That's an adventure. What's he going to do next? I don't know. We'll just see what the Father's doing and we'll join him in it. All we know is we are available to speak and to do, and we're constantly watching. We're doing like the Bible says, watch and pray. Does that kind of come alive to you now? Spiritually watch and pray. And there's a bunch of Bible verses. I put 3 down on your sheets there about that type of thing. Number 8. We're interacting with God a lot more than we've ever done before. Instead of just having morning prayer or evening prayer before we go to sleep, we're making ourselves and our minds start to focus a little more to interact with God more during the daytime. And on one of the Holy Spirit messages, I gave you tips on how to do that, what you can start with, and start with thank yous. You know, every time something good happens, hey, thank you that parking spot opened up at Mercy Hospital when I needed to go visit someone, and there's never parking spots up close. You know, that's how it works. You know, so however you can start changing your thinking to where you're interacting with him more, so that 1 Thessalonians 4:17 comes alive to you. Pray without what? Ceasing. Well, that's just interacting with God during the course of the day, not forgetting about him. Danny, your aunt is just all over my thinking today with this sermon, because she would do this stuff. And I'm going blank on her first name. Laverne, yeah. She was like this. Just now came to me. We have to retrain ourselves to get better at doing this, people. Get better at hearing God, better at interacting with him. Number 9, we are even improving ourselves at hearing God's voice. Knowing what is of me, what is of God, and even what could be of Satan. We got to get good where we understand the differences on those. Number 10, we're giving God our tithe faithfully, as Scripture tells us to do. And I can tell you firsthand, I've tithed all my life, ever since I've been a teenager, except for the years I got away from God and got stupid. And if you ever choose to get mad at God, you come talk to me first, because it doesn't work. It'll lead you down a stupid trail. So I understand that. So come to me for counseling. I'll be happy to talk to you about that one. Don't do it. But that's the only time I've ever not tithed in my entire life. And God has always blessed me, way more. And then, so here we are, we're tithing. We're also helping people that need help. And we'll feel God give us an impression, hey, help so-and-so. And we do that. Number 11, we are finding that we are now living our lives doing exactly what the Father wants us to do. Now that scripture from Jesus starts making sense. The world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what he tells me to do. So we've learned to talk less. Make sure you get a hold of that. Talk less, listen more. Everybody got that? Talk less, listen more. If you don't do that, you're not going to hear God when he wants to give you something to share with somebody. Number 12, John 6:63 finally comes alive to us. So we truly believe the Spirit gives life. And we actually believe the flesh counts for nothing. We actually start believing that. And we know that someday we'll understand why God had us do the different things we did. And by the way, Ecclesiastes 3:14 pretty much says about the same thing as John 6:63. Life is not about us. Life is meant to be watching for what God wants to do. Who does he want me to spend time with? Who does he want me to say something to? How much does he want me to say? Who does he want me praying for? It's all about him talking to me, directing me, and hearing him better. It's an adventure. And some of those things, we're going to find out while we're still here on earth why God had us do it. But guess what? Some of those things we're not going to find out until heaven. This song is by Lee Williams.
I dreamed I went to heaven, you were there with me. I walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was giving to the Lord. I am Then another man stood before you. He said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry, and you didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaim. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand. You stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you
number 13, so we finally start getting it. When we think about our flesh versus spirit, we start seeing the flesh as an area that doesn't help much and actually can be an area heavily used by Satan. Then we remember the passage of Scripture when Jesus told Peter to get behind me, Satan. It's out of Matthew 16:23. And all Peter was doing was trying to be nice and help Jesus out. We understand now that Peter was operating in the flesh and not hearing God. And just that little bit of flesh was being used by Satan. Number 14, suddenly for the first time in our life, Acts 17:28 comes alive to us. For in him we live and move and have our being. You see the power in those words? Everything's done through God. In him we live. Who's him? God. We live, and in him we move. He directs us and guides our life. And in him we have our being. It's what life is about. And number 15, somebody somewhere is waiting on you to do what God has called you to do. the 15 things that we have looked at today are crucial things. They're a summary of many different sermons, 9 sermons. And if we could follow each of those points, each of those 15 points, what an impact we could make. Sometimes we focus on what we need to do here on earth. People, it's not about that. It's about what's going to last for eternity. And I would encourage you that if you have not done any of these 15 things today, that when I do a closing prayer here in a minute, that you solve those things with God. Ask forgiveness for any of the things you've dropped the ball on, and start getting serious about each one of these things. Somebody, somewhere is waiting on you to be what God's called you to be. And somebody, somewhere is waiting on you to do what God has called you to do. So go back through those 15 things. Let's close in prayer. Let's go ahead and stand. And again, take this time to make things right with God. If you need to make things right with God, if you've never started this journey with Him, turn your life over to Him. Start with that. And then look through those 15 things and begin to do those things. Father, we thank You for this message. Very different, but I do whatever You tell me to do. And the songs today just really enhanced. Thank You for bringing those songs to my mind, orchestrating this whole thing. Thank You for Lee Williams and Dana and Lee's mom, Annette, and all their work in helping to prepare those songs. And I pray that more than anything else, that we will start living out those 15 things. They're life-changing. And it will make us effective for You. Thank You for today's message. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.